Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
We are speaking on how to work for God, and I'd like to remind everybody again that I have a book out there titled How to Work for God. The book is, I wrote a lot in it concerning how to work for God. The title is just a reflection of the things that are inside it. And those are amongst the things that we have been discussing over the last few weeks on this series, on this radio broadcast, in which this section I titled appropriately, How to Work for God. Now, I will just continue from where we stopped, because we began to speak about how to give to God, because giving is one of the ways by which we work for God. And I've been trying to correct some of the things that are popular in Christianity, but they do not help us to give to God. We understand that God says something clearly to us, that when I come, a lot of times I come in the lowest, that is, I come as the least of my saints. In fact, let me just start today by reading from this. It will be interesting for us to read it correctly. That's from the book of Matthew chapter 25. The Lord was trying to explain how he appears to people. He said in verse 31, Matthew chapter 25, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on the right, on his right, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' Why should they inherit it?" He said, "These are the things they did. He said, 'For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" These were the things that the people did, for which reason God said, "Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, notice the surprise, all right, in the voice of the people that he spoke these things to in verse 37. "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? That is, when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?'" Notice verse 40. "The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Now, in answer to those on the other side, he said, "Depart from me. Why should they depart and go into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels? This is the reason: I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in.'" And the same things he said to these other people, is that the opposite he said to this. And then they also expressed surprise in verse 44. He said, "When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? It never happened, Lord, that we saw you one day and we did not respond to you." And the Lord said, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And this will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Please notice something here, and that's one thing I will continue from that point today, but I just need to use this one to review some things we have been saying. At the beginning, I explained about idolatry. What is idolatry again? You know, Satan is very crafty. A lot of people believe they are not idolaters because they do not have a shigidi in the house. You understand what I'm saying? They do not have an idol somewhere that they bow to. They do not have a stone upon which they pour libation or sacrifice a cock every month. They don't have all those things. So they look at those who have those things and call those people idolaters and believe they are not idolaters. But you see, Satan is very crafty. Idolatry is still there, but it has changed its face in the life of many Christians. They do not have shrines. They do not have physical idols, but they have created idols out of their buildings. Are you getting my point? So it's part of idolatry is that we don't recognize the presence of God in every place. And we said last time that Jonah explained that in the belly of the whale, of the fish in the waters, in the deep, God was there. He could hear him. David said, if I were to hide in the depths of the earth, you are still there. That is, idolatry is when we think God is only present in a building when we go to church. So when we want to give, we're talking about giving as working for God. A lot of people don't believe, they don't understand that it is possible to give to God outside the church building. If I heard a man say it before, that any money you give outside this place, you have just dashed it away. I'm sure that was a mistake. But that when you want to give to God that we count, it must be the one you brought before the temple, the one you brought into the church and you are giving. Please let me emphasize this again. I am not saying that Christians should not give to church. If nobody gave to church, you would not be hearing me preach on this program. Are you getting my point? That is, the money that pays for this radio broadcast, they come from the offerings that Christians give also. But I'm going to explain something. God is everywhere and we must recognize it. That's why along the line we're talking about the fact that it is not only preachers that are working for God, even secular people, all right? A policeman is supposed to be working for God, all right? A taxi driver is working for God. A fire serviceman is working for God. And believe me, the teacher in secondary school is working for God. Now, so when we're talking about this giving thing, therefore, the Lord was saying this, that a lot of people who think they are doing things for me, the time I came to receive it, they did not recognize it. And I said something to us last time, that I heard a man of God say that those who do the work that count, they don't stop to count them. If you're able to count all your good works, you are not doing good works. Are you getting my point? If you are preoccupied with counting, if you're able to say to God that you will bless me because I did this, then what you have done is that you have done nothing good in the sight of God if you can refer to your good works. As a child of God, you are not allowed. We read it last time that two people went to pray. One said, I am not like the other man. I pay tithes of all that I have. I do all the good works. And the other one said, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, the man who humbled himself is the one that will be exalted. But the one that came bragging upon his good works, he will go lower than he was before he came for that prayer. And we must be very careful that we don't come to God. And in fact, it does not work. Let me just emphasize it again. We don't give to God. I've been explaining that for the last few broadcasts now. We don't give to God because we want to get from him. We don't give to God because we want to receive a blessing. It is not possible to deliberately. Listen, I need to emphasize this. Even though I know it's very common today, it's preached in our churches. You hear it over the airwaves. But the truth is still the truth. That thing is not correct. Nobody can deliberately give to God. You say, I'm sowing a seed towards my car. I'm sowing a seed towards my house. I'm sowing a seed so I can get a husband. I'm sowing a seed so I can have a child. Those things are Pentecostal jokes. They don't work. They do not work. They do not work. They do not work. We established over the last two broadcasts that the reason why we get from God is because he loves us. The reason why we get from God is because he has a good disposition towards us. And that when we're going to receive from him in prayer, it will be because we are asking in faith, and we are asking not with wrong motives. We are not asking to feed upon our flesh. We are asking because we truly desire those things. And we said the secret to receiving is asking. So, why do we do good works? It is because it is our nature. It is our character. We are children of God. We are like our Father. We can't help but do good works. That's just a matter of fact. We've been establishing that. So we now said, how do we give to God? I said, there are different ways by which we give as in giving to God. The one we just read here shows us one thing, that you can give to God by giving to those who are in need. Because the Lord said, you did not give to me. They said, when did we not give you? He said, you saw somebody who was hungry, you did not feed him. But you ran to church to go and give an offering. You saw somebody who was thirsty, you did not give him water to drink. You saw a stranger that was stranded or somebody who was naked, you were not of help to that person. Then you are coming before me and say, Lord, I've done a lot of things for you. God said, no. The very day I came and I needed something from you, you did not give to me. I said, number one way by which you can give to God is by giving to those who are in need. I've heard people say, you see, please, I have the unfortunate duty of having to correct a lot of popular but wrong doctrines. I've heard people say that, listen, a poor man cannot bless you. That the greater, they are quoting from the book of Hebrews, all right, around chapter 7, that the greater blesses the lesser. The lesser is blessed of the greater. So if you give to a poor man cannot bless you. So the giving that really brings out the blessing, all right, is that you give to somebody who is senior to you. For example, your pastor, your man of God, or somebody. Listen, if you give to me, I will receive it. And I get gifts from people who are blessed, and I really thank God for them, and I prophesy blessing upon them in return. But it is a lie to say that a poor can ever bless you. Are you getting my point? And I can prove it to you. Go open to the book of Job. The book of Job chapter 29. Now, I won't read the whole thing because it's quite long. I just want to explain something. Job, who understood the principles of God, made a statement from verse 2. He said, "All that I were in the months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me." Then he began to describe the blessing that God had upon him. You see, in verse 4, he said, "When the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were around me, when my steps," please notice this, "when my steps were bathed in butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil," he said, "when I went out of the gates of the city," you know, describing all those, the glory around him, "the young men saw me," I'm jumping verses now, "and hid themselves, and the old men arose and stood. Princes stopped talking, put their hands over their mouths, the voices of the nobles were hushed, and all these blessings." Notice verse 11, "when the ear heard, it called me blessed, and when the eye saw, it gave witness to me." Why? Listen to verse 12. "Because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the orphan who had no helper." Listen to verse 13. "The blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy." Anybody tells the poor cannot bless you does not know the Bible. The Bible says, "He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord." That is, the Lord can bless you. It is not true that Christians go around this believing it. That's only, the only giving that brings forth a blessing from God is the one you give to a man of God, because he's anointed to bless you. I said to us something last time, I gave us 5 different ways by which you can give to God. I said those who are in need, and I said those who are, the Bible calls, the widows of your household, who God said you should honor, number 3, and then we're going to talk about all of them, and then the preaching of the word of God and the minister of God. And I said something, you don't rob Peter to pay Paul. What belongs to the poor, you don't give to the man of God. What belongs to the man of God, you don't give to your parents. What belongs to your parents, you don't give to the preaching of the gospel. As we go on, we'll see it. It is spiritual intelligence to know how to apportion your giving money appropriately. Are you getting my point? That is just the spiritual intelligence you need. But let nobody say to you that the poor cannot bless you. If the poor have not blessed you, you won't live long. Forget it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Poor people must bless you. Those who do not have must say, "God bless you." One brother was telling me the other day, he drives a very nice car, sharp car, he bought brand new. And as he was driving along the road, it was about to rain or something. He saw a woman coming out of the farm, you know, carrying load on her head. Something in him moved and he stopped and told the woman to come in. So he drove the woman down to the village, and then the woman came down. Said the woman looked at him, didn't know what to say. He said, "Only God understands how he's going to bless you." That is, the woman had never seen anything like that. This was a woman coming from the farm with no basket on her head and all of that. This young man was driving by in a sharp car, brand new, AC, everything wound up. And he saw that the weather was getting kind of dull, maybe about to rain. He looked at the woman, gauged the distance he would have to trek, so he stopped. "Madam, come in." The woman looked, "I should come into this car." She entered the car, the guy dropped her in the village. The woman looked and said, God bless you. Only God knows how he's going to bless you. That is, I don't know what else to say. Listen to me. I said before, your life, listen to me. God never planned to bless you just for the sake of blessing you. The only reason why he's blessing you is so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. He said to Abraham, "I will bless you, you will be a blessing. In you will all the nations of the earth be blessed." That's what true Christianity is. That you are blessing people, not for bragging rights' sake. Please, I need to emphasize that. Because when I was explaining earlier, I've heard people say before that I'm saying Christians should not give. I never said so. I said Christians don't give for the kind of motive that's common these days. They are giving so that they can grab something from God. They are giving so they can stand and say, "God, I have given you, bless me back." Nobody gives to God so my demand back from him. But I said, every good work has a just recompense of reward. Are you getting my point? That's what the Bible was saying when it says, "He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." You say, "But you say, I thought you said we cannot give to get." I said, listen, Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 6, that's in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 38, he said, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they shall pour into your lap. For by the standard of measure that used, it will be measured to you in return." Now people say that what Jesus was saying is go out, give, so that you can get. I said, no. He did not say, give so it can be given to you. He said, give and it shall be given to you. What was he saying? It's a principle. That is, every gift you give, this is where I like to say it. The law, listen, it's in my book like that, How to Work for God. I said, the law, the knowledge of the law of giving and receiving, the knowledge of the law of sowing and reaping is not an incentive for a wicked man to start giving. It's an encouragement for a generous man. Are you getting my point? That if a man is generous, God is saying to him, don't worry, everything you give will be multiplied back to you. Because listen to me, I said the last time, I need to repeat it. Every seed has its own proper field. If you sow corn, you reap corn only if you sow corn into the physical earth. But in the realm of the spirit, no matter whether it's corn you give to your pastor, or naira you give to your father, or it is dollar you give to the work of the ministry, the only thing that heaven recognizes is the spiritual substance inside it, because you are sowing into the realm of the spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to make there? So this is how it is. When I give, all right, whether it's naira or dollar or corn, whatever it is that I'm giving, it is this motivation behind my mind that counts in heaven. So when Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, he wasn't saying that go and look for money, give somebody so that you can get back. He didn't say give so that it shall be given. It is a spiritual law. Every seed has a harvest. Are you getting my point? So that if you go out with a selfish heart, selfishness is what will come back to you. A lot of people, listen, that's their problem. When they go to church, they are not thinking about God. They are not thinking about the neighbor that's in need. They are not thinking about the pastor. They are not thinking about the work of the ministry. They are thinking about their needs. So today, God, I want you to give me a very fine husband. Here is the money with which you will activate his motion. Are you getting my point? That is, the giving is not about the giving. It is about the getting. Listen to me. A cheerful giver is one person who gives without thinking about what he is going to get back. He said, give expecting nothing in return. That was what the Lord Jesus said. Give expecting nothing in return. Let me not leave the thing I'm trying to say today. So how should we give to God? Number one way, you give to the poor. Yes, if somebody is in need, and listen, it's not a duty for very rich people. It's a duty for everybody. The widow of Zarephath, who we like to quote, she did not have much, but she had enough to give somebody else who was hungry. What about her son? She said, I have enough just to make a meal for two people, my son and myself. The prophet said, but I am hungry. I said, okay, you can have my own. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is possible to give out of the depth of your own poverty. And I can prove that also. Quickly, open to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll see that also. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. This is from the Good News Bible. He said, our brothers, we want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia. They have been severely tested by the troubles they went through. But their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they are very poor. He said, our brothers, notice this, in Macedonia, people were severely tested. They were in trouble themselves, but they still had the ability to give. Why? Because there was joy in their hearts. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Are you getting my point? It is what is inside your heart that makes you cheerful as a giver. This man did not have much, but these people did not have much, but they were able to give. Why? Because the Spirit of God was working with them. Because he said, if you understand God's grace, what it has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia, that is, if God's grace is working upon you, don't ever say you are too poor to give. The way God has structured life, you will find somebody who needs something that you can supply. Many years ago, I read a joke in one magazine. One man sat down and he was eating moi moi, you know, moi moi, 2 rounds of moi moi. He said, this world is so wicked. This world is wicked. I've made up my mind I'm going to commit suicide. So he put a rope there and said, the only things I have left in life are these 2 rounds of moi moi. So let me eat my moi moi first and then I will go and hang myself because I want to depart from this wicked, wicked world. And as he was eating his moi moi, one man was standing afar watching him. So the man finished eating the moi moi, threw down the leaves. You know, moi moi has leaves. And moi moi leaves, some pieces of moi moi will stuck to the leaves. And he got up on the chair and wanted to hang himself. Only for him to look, when he heard somebody say, oh God, it'd be like, say, you're not hungry. the guy who was watching him earlier on packed the moi moi and started scraping every bit that was left stuck to the leaves. He said, "Oh, God bless," I say, "you're hungry not to catch you. That's why you can throw away this amount of moi moi stuck to these leaves." If you had asked that man that, "What do you have to give somebody?" He says, "Nothing." But he didn't realize that inside that moi moi, there's a part of it that he doesn't want to eat that will be a blessing to somebody. Let me explain the principle to you. In life, you must be a blessing to somebody. You must be a blessing to somebody. There's what the Bible calls the law of gleanings. I like to explain to Christians. The law of what? Gleaning. It's in the Old Testament. If you read the story of Ruth and Naomi, when they returned back from their journey, from their sojourn, from the land of Moab, and they got back home and had nothing, the way by which Ruth met Boaz was when she went to go and glean around, and she stumbled upon the field of Boaz. What is gleaning? God had a commandment for them. You can read the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Let me just read verse 22. It says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the glean of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien." He says, "I am the Lord your God." What does that mean? God is saying that the supply of the needy and the alien was his responsibility. And he was commanding the people, therefore, to walk with him. What were they supposed to do? This is what gleanings are. It means that when you are harvesting, anything that falls, let it fall. Are you getting my point? Anything that falls, let it fall. In fact, God, we don't have time to study it in details, but you can read that Leviticus 23. He said, number one, don't harvest to the corners of your field. That is, when you are harvesting, anything at the edges, leave it there. What did he say? He said, that is what those who are the needy and the alien, those who do not have, that's what they are going to eat. That is, as you are taking the abundance, a remnant should be allowed to fall. Listen, that must be a principle in the life of every Christian. I say to those that God has given money to buy two or three shirts, after you have won your portion in one or two, you've won it for some time. It doesn't have to tear first. Somebody else will be blessed by that shirt. Take it and give it to somebody else. And listen, as God blesses you, let it increase. Let a time come also that you watch a TV after 2-3 years of watching a 23 or 21-inch tube TV. God now increases you. You buy a bigger one, or you now buy a flat-screen TV. Some people now carry the old one and go to the market, say, "How much can you give me for it?" God said, "Don't do that kind of thing. If you continue like that, I won't let you prosper in life." You've been to your friends' houses. In that, your church, in your neighborhood, your cousin, your brother, somebody does not have a television. Give that one to him. I have given you the resources to buy a new one. Give that one to somebody. It's called the law of gleaning. These days, our phones are everywhere. You've been using one small Nokia. God now increases you. You now have a nice Android phone, a BlackBerry. You are using an iPhone. Somebody says he wants the old one. You are still saying, "How much? How much what?" God said, "I will remove your teeth at this rate." You have used your portion. Give the rest to somebody. Let somebody else use his own portion. It is called gleaning. There's a joke I saw somewhere. Very good joke. One man was eating. His dog was watching him. He was eating the chicken. The dog was watching him. He finished all the meat on the chicken. The dog was watching. Then the man began to crack the bone. Then the dog rushed out. Collect the bone from the guy. Begin run. So the man started chasing the dog. Say, "Bingo, bingo, come back here." They now showed the bingo thinking. He said, "Who's I? Think I go sit down here, you go take Ogboju chop my portion." That you've eaten the meat and not talk. It's time for the bone. Come on, leave it for me now. You want to work everything. And that's how some of us behave. We eat with all our fingers. Nothing must drop. Listen, there was one man in the Bible, when he tried, the God killed him overnight. His land harvested, it produced plenty. He harvested a lot. And I said, "What shall I do?" "I shall store up." Listen, if God gives you an abundance, it's so that you can share. When you store it up, one brother came to me once. He said, "I save up a lot of money. What do you think?" I said, "One or two things will happen. The bank will, just because of you, a bank will collapse on your money. Or inflation will collect it from you. Every day it stays there. It's going down in value." I said, "But one thing you can be sure of as a Christian, you will eventually lose it." And that's God's mercy. Were it not for mercy, you won't lose it. The money will lose you, if you know what I'm talking about. What am I going to say? It is part of working for God to be generous. You've worn this shirt for the last 2 years. It's still shining. Say, never spoil. Must it spoil first? When a brother looked at my car, a friend of mine, he said, "Oga, sell this car. I said, it's still good. He said, I know. This is the time to sell it. He was trying to say something. Now, this is what he was saying. He said, sell it at a very good price. That is a very low price. Let the person who will buy from you, let him be happy. That was some time ago. That is, I didn't complain to him that the car had a problem. He was just talking with me. He looked at the car. He said, you have used this car for some time. I think you have used your portion. That's what he was saying. You want to kill it first? God has blessed you. You are still re-ringing engine. One day in my house, my cousin living with me told me that our generator is now consuming a lot of engine oil, that he thinks we should take it and go and re-ring it, and then it will stop consuming oil. I told him, remove the generator, go and keep it at the back. I called the people who sold the generator, said, bring me a new one. They brought it and put it, why didn't you re-ring it? I said, let somebody who can re-ring it come and collect it, go and re-ring it. Then let him be blessed by it. Listen, it's called the law of what? Gleaning. You can't live for yourself alone. Some people want to sell old car, they will fight to get every extra kobo. There are things that, as a law, if they are old, I can't sell. That is, in fact, the prayer I'm praying to God, is that one day, and I tell people, try and practice it. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me quickly say this. You must practice generosity. It does not come to you because it's just there. Are you getting my point? It's practice. You must practice it. You see what we read just now about the Macedonians. The Bible says that even though they were poor, but God's grace accomplished something inside them. That because of the multitude of their joy, they were extremely generous. I'm going to add something here. Anybody can be generous. I remember many years ago, this was many years ago, this was around 1989, 1990. I was in the university then. And if you don't understand, students don't have money. Most students don't have money. Even if your father is very rich, you still won't have money because the one he gives you, you will soon finish it. So it's just normal for students not to have money. Yet, those days, a meal was, about that time, was still, for University of Benin, was still about 1 naira, 1 naira 50 kobo, if you ate very fat. I saw somebody dash somebody 20 naira. I had never seen it before in my life. For a student to give another person 20 naira. But this was the issue. I swore to myself that, God, I must do it too. It didn't even cross my mind that they didn't have more money. But I said, so if people can dash people this amount of money, I said to myself, I must do it also. So one day, one brother just mentioned mistakenly in my ear that he wanted to buy a very nice new shirt and is looking for people who will contribute money for him. He didn't understand what was going on in my mind. I jumped up, opened my box, looked for the money I had, and quickly gave it to him. One of my friends was there. He was wondering, like, wait, what just happened? I said, I just gave that guy 20 naira. This was, listen, a good quality shirt that time, I remember, was 50 naira. No, really. That's the kind of shirt that now will go for like 4,000. All right? It was 50. So the guy looked. I remember he was fidgeting. What are you talking about? Why did you do it? I said, I wanted to do it. He didn't understand what was going on in my mind. He said, I've seen it done before. You know, it was years later that I told myself, you did not even ask whether that person who did that thing, whether the papa day rich or your mama day rich. But for me, it was doable. What am I saying? You must practice generosity. You must practice generosity. It's the life of a Christian. I'm angry these days when I see the way a lot of us pastors try to motivate Christians to give. If you just give something today, God will just surprise you. That is, the people are still selfish. They are not generous. God loves a cheerful giver. Anybody whose eyes are focused on what he's going to receive when he's giving is not a cheerful giver. He's not a cheerful giver. One of the ways by which we work for God as believers is by being generous in giving. And my emphasis right now is I'm talking about the generosity to the people who don't have. And I'm explaining using the principle of the law of gleaning that God says everybody has something. I'm just trying to explain that. And there is a way by which you can be a blessing to people if you practice it. It's not a big deal to say no. I mean, you've used a phone for a while. You see a young man passing, say, which phone did they use there? That's not nice. Let me give you this one. Go and use this one. Or you don't have a phone, take my own. You are practicing it. One day, you will look at a man and say, which car do you drive? He say, I don't have one. Say, take this one. I'll buy another one.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.